Welcome to another episode of Ordinary Old Catholic Me. I'm doing an experiment, which is I'm recording this episode on my cell phone because I had to give up my old computer that was falling apart, basically. Couldn't power on easily, screen was cracked, features that I've had apparently will not be supported after January of 2023. So I purchased a new one, and the techs at the store are moving what I have on one computer to the other and hopefully refreshing the entire process. But I've been doing this program for over 2 years now, and I don't want to miss an episode if possible, so I will continue the story, the narrative of my retreat that occurred between July 23rd and July 31st. I've many times noted that I'm not a morning person, and this was true when I was working. When I became a manager, one of the great perks was being able to flex so I could come in later and stay later. As a retired person, I've had the bad habit, however, of going to bed very late and getting up very late, which inhibits your day and getting things done. If nothing else, what the retreat seems to have helped me do is to reorient my schedule. Not that I get up at the crack of dawn, but I have a much more reasonable schedule, and I get up around 8 o'clock in the morning, and I have the whole day, and I try to go to bed so around 12 midnight, no later if possible, which makes a big difference in terms of structuring my day. So there I was, getting up at 6 a.m., the very first day of the full retreat, to go to Mass at 7:30. And the first thing that you learn at a retreat like this is to get yourself immediately in the presence of God. It's going to be an ongoing process for me, but incorporating prayer into my every moment of life was something that was a focus during the retreat. I didn't find it particularly hard, if you will, to orient myself by putting myself in the presence of God, but one of the additional ideas was that you should also be asking Mary to pray with you and for you, Mary being the Mother of God, who said yes to our Lord, to God, the Creator, to God, the second person, to God, the third person, by allowing her to be the instrument by which our Lord came and was crucified, died, and was resurrected. Maybe because I lost my mother when I was relatively young, I don't seem to have a very close relationship to Mary, and I've had to work at thinking about her as a bridge to her son, and to listen to him in the silence of the retreat. One of the whole points of the retreat is, how is God speaking to you, speaking to me? How is he speaking to me there, and how is he speaking to me now, as I'm sitting here in my bedroom, frankly, recording this podcast? We were told that all of creation was made for us, and we are the pinnacle of creation. That should cause us to get out of our heads and to love in response. So after the Mass and after the first conference, I wrote down the question, how is God speaking to me? And I wrote some notes, which I will share with you. I usually have words. Words have been my education, my career, part of my spiritual life, in that I lecture, and I have in my life run small groups. And a while ago, I downloaded a Kindle book by Cardinal Sarah called The Power of Silence. And here I am, in this silence for days, something I've never done, and I have just begun to read this book. And what has occurred to me is that words, along with my usual constant internal churning, are keeping him from penetrating my heart with his love, our Lord's love, though I talk and talk, apparently immersed in things of God, but still somehow never approaching him. In the intro of the book is the Litany of Humility, the prayer that begs God for liberation from everything that is part of my internal churning, that I use words to express, but never escape. Words and fear, they prevent me from, well, it's a block, being really led by him, seeing that I am, in fact, the apex of creation. I'm almost led, but I hold back. I hold back in relationship with my fellow men, but I really hold back with God, and he keeps trying to touch my heart. Almost I let him in, then I close up shop. In the second morning conference, we're asked, among other things, to imagine God looking at us with love. I realize something very old. It makes me nervous, the idea that God is looking at me with love. Does that make you nervous? Because, you know why, I think, it requires a response from us. The conference ends, and I suddenly realize that I'm horribly anxious, and that though I had hoped for a bit of peace with which to seek God, that I was sitting outside a magnolia tree feeling anxious and, I wouldn't say despairing, but concerned about ever changing. Luckily, I would have my very first conference, or rather, my first spiritual direction, with a young brother who was assigned to me. It was a half hour you'd get every single day. And I decided, although they do advise you to be transparent, that's not necessarily my first thought, but I thought, go for broke, tell them about my anxiety. Indeed, feeling choked by thorns, we had talked about the parable of the sower earlier, more than I was expecting. I thought the week would be liberating, not anxiety-producing. But that's part of the discernment of spirits, because clearly God knew before we were born that we would be here, but the other person who knows that we're there is you-know-who, the devil. And he does not want us to get closer to God. So, telling the young brother about what's going on, the transparency, has the value of reducing the obstacle. And I believe he says something to me then that I believe he also repeats at the conference that occurs thereafter, which he presides at. That oddly makes me feel even better. It might not seem intuitive that that would be the case. But what he talks about is, in the conference subsequent, is Mary, after she's told that she's going to be the mother of God, instead of being preoccupied with this miracle that is going to be a joy and a burden to her, instead of just thinking about it, she gets up and she goes off to see her cousin Elizabeth, who's about to be the mother of John the Baptist. Her response, we're told, is humility. And so, what did the young brother say to me and to all of us in the conference thereafter was this retreat that we were doing this week, that week, was about us. It was all about us immersing ourselves in the Lord so that we could then have a life that was not about us, that we could be loving and humble servants. And what has occurred to me many times in my life, the paradox is, if you've ever had moments of recognition of this, the paradox is that in that humility, in that fact that your life is not about you, which is something you hear from Robert Barron, Bishop Barron as well, is that suddenly there's an enormous peace. It doesn't last, at least while you're working on it here in this life, but it lasts a little bit more each time you immerse yourself in prayer. It is a spiritual exercise, just like this week was for us. We are invited to engage in spiritual exercise all the time. These are not new messages. In fact, throughout the retreat, throughout this morning, we are, and afternoon, we are meditating on various passages in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, where God is constantly telling us these very thoughts in the stories that he tells about the people of God who have followed him all through history. Moses encountering the burning bush is not very different, when you come to think about it, from receiving communion at Mass every Sunday. This is not an accidental parallel. It's one of the reasons that something that I started to do before the retreat, I am now trying to do more after the retreat, is to receive our Lord on the tongue rather than in my hand, although I understand both are considered appropriate. I have come to the idea that my level of reverence is increased when I receive on the tongue. That it sparks my humility, I wrote in my own journal here, and somehow is oddly more joyful. How I'm receiving the I am. The young priest, who also does a conference in the evening, mentions that he wants to be like Jesus. And he really means it. And as I'm sitting here right now talking to you, I suddenly thought, well, I'm receiving Jesus so that I can become like him. The young priest, Father Victor, reflects on the story of Mary and Martha and how Martha is very disturbed because Mary is not helping when she and her brother Lazarus and Mary have Jesus over for dinner. Jesus refuses to criticize Mary for not helping, but rather listening only to him, sort of sitting by his feet and listening to him while poor Martha is doing all the work. And it's not that Martha is doing the wrong thing. It's just that he wants to point out that we really need to focus on whether or not at any moment we're doing the will of God. And in this case, Martha is in fact doing the will of God. And so is Mary. Is something drawing us away from our total response to God? In my case, I realized that my going to bed very late and getting up very late had the effect of drawing me away from God and allowing me sometimes to wallow in distractions and in fears. And I was also listening to the radio late at night when I was trying to go to sleep, and all I was listening to were the crazinesses of the world, and clearly it was affecting me on a conscious and unconscious level. What other things have pulled me away? I suppose in a way my education, the fact I stay in my head, my work, doing as much as I can at the parish, and realizing that what I really want is I want validation and I want safety. And in some way, I'm acting out of fear and obligation rather than out of a sense of friendship for he who made my life possible, my spiritual life possible, my salvation possible. I'm touching bases as opposed to really praising him. I have learned that the one place that I pray best other than at church is on my little terrace outside in a kind of nature. It's not huge, but I have my hummingbirds, I have the palm trees that I can see from my terrace. We talk of creation in this retreat and the marvels of creation, including ourselves, but I get to sit outside and watch creation. And this retreat reminded me that it's an opportunity to praise him, because I'm feeling such a blessing in that corner. And I've actually have talked to our Lord in kind of a jest and affection, saying, when I see some of the things that are flying around and the breeze I feel, I say, Lord, you do some good work. It's how I feel when I see all those recent space photos. Wow, You, Lord, do such good work. All of this is a taste of paradise that his death and resurrection gave back to us if we cooperate. But that cooperation has to come from a place of love, not purely a place of obligation. Exposition was, as I said, from 6:30 to 9:30, and around 7:30 I was sitting for exposition for about an hour, and I think I must have had my journal with me because I was writing. And this is what I said. Alas, if I believed in the deepest part of myself, not just intellectually or morally or on the dogmatic surface, that God was in the monstrance, I would not always be in a rush to go. Of course, I know I'm hyper, manic, and depressive. Sorry about those dogs barking. Back to my notation. So being in one place for any length of time is, for me, excruciating. But this is God. Father Broom, one of our conference leaders, said earlier in the day that he didn't want to leave the presence of God. What I really want from this retreat is that by its end, my belief that is now shallow becomes an absolute part of my heart. Belief in the real presence such that I do not ever want to leave when he is exposed in the monstrance, even if I must. That would be a spiritual advance. Well, as it turns out, it is not easy to do this using my telephone. But I've given you about 17 minutes of the very first full day of the retreat, and I have many days to follow. And I hope that this is something which is of some use to you. I really do, as I said, I think the last time, think that a retreat of this sort is almost indispensable if you can manage to do it. Even if you can do a weekend on a retreat of this sort or some version of it. In the meantime, I hope I will have my computer fully restored, my new one, fully restored next week, and everything will be working on it so that I don't have a problem recording and I'm not frustrated. Today it was really hard because there was just so much noise around me and I couldn't really do anything to stop it because this phone doesn't have a plug for a headphone. So, in any case, have a good week, and I hope you continue to enjoy ordinary old Catholic me.